We have an incredible dialogue in today's gospel between Christ and the Samaritan woman. You know, Christ goes deeper and deeper into her heart and opens her up to proper worship. But I wanted to focus more deeply on one line. When Christ says to the woman, the Father seeks such people to worship him. And I think this reveals two things. First is that our Heavenly Father desires that we come before him to worship him. And secondly, that he actually seeks us out, you know, that our Lord is seeking us and trying to find us and to get us to worship him. And that's ultimately the purpose for which he created us. We were created to know, love, and serve God in this world and to worship him forever. You know, that's the purpose for which we were created. And in our culture today, so often it's like pulling teeth to get people to worship God. You know, just to get someone to come to church, you know, is sometimes so difficult. I'm sure any one of us could list off a bunch of names of people that we know that just don't come to church. And generally, it's hard to get a good excuse from them. You know, if you ask them why they don't come, you can give them 100 different reasons why it's important for them to come to church to worship God. And they won't come. And rarely do they ever even give a good reason. You know, I think it's, in my mind at least, it's pretty self-explanatory. God has created us. He's brought us into existence. We owe him everything that we have and are. You know, how can we not come back and give him thanks? You know, just as an obligation of justice, we should worship God, if not out of love. And I think this is a relatively new development in history just within the past few decades, because if you look historically, human beings have been very religious. You know, every ancient society has their own religion, whether they're worshiping false gods or the true God, whether their worship is authentic or corrupt, nevertheless, they would worship God or gods, depending on what they believed in. So it's a relatively new phenomenon that people, you know, are not worshiping God. And when I taught in high school, I had students ask at different times, isn't that selfish that God would create us and then demand that we worship him and then say you're going to hell if we don't worship you? You know, isn't that a little selfish on God's part? You know, that's why I love teaching sophomores. They were always very honest. But, you know, I think it's important for us to realize that God created us for an infinite destiny. You know, he created us to love and adore him as an infinite being. And if there were anything greater in this universe, he would have created us for that. But there's not. Everything else in the universe is finite. He's created us for an infinite end. And so the reason he's created us to worship him and adore him is because there's nothing greater that he could have created us for. He created us to do that, not for his sake, because he doesn't need our worship. The reason he created us for an infinite end is for our sake. And so it's not a selfish act that he does that. You know, but for us, worship is the gateway that enables us to encounter a divine being and to attain an end greater than anything in this world. And so worship puts us in a proper relationship with God. It teaches us to acknowledge that we are completely and totally dependent upon God at every moment of our existence. And we come before him not as equals. You know, we can't stand there before God and pretend like we're equal to him. He's the creator and we are created. And so we come before him with reverence. We revere him and we should hold him in awe. But I want to look at a few lessons from today's gospel about proper worship. One lesson that we learn from the gospel is that we have to seek the living water. The woman in the gospel, when she first encounters Christ, she's looking for just regular water. And Christ tells her that whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever seeks the living water, if they attain that living water, they will never thirst again. And so the question for us is, are we seeking our satisfaction in worldly things, in finite things that can never truly fulfill us? Or do we seek the living water, which is the Holy Spirit, the infinite love of God poured out into our souls? If we're seeking something else, then that's interfering with us worshiping God properly, and we're not going to attain the living water. In order to enter into proper worship, we have to be seeking the living water above all things. And so the question for us is, do we realize that this is the place where we find the deepest desires of our souls? It's not going to be anywhere else. It's coming before Christ and seeking the living water. And so first, do we recognize and realize what is the only thing that can bring us true happiness? Second thing, after Christ gets this woman to the point where she's seeking the living water, he calls her out on her sin. Just point blank. You know, he says, go get your husband. And the woman's like, I don't have a husband. And he goes, yeah, that's right. You've had five husbands. And the woman you're with now is not your, or the man you're with now is not your husband. He just calls her out point blank. And so I think what we can learn from this is, in order to enter into proper worship, we have to be freed from serious sin. You know, we can't be sinning against God on one hand and then come before him and pretend to worship him on the other hand. That's not authentic. And so if there is serious sin in our lives, we have to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. We have to repent of that and put ourselves in a proper relationship with God before we can enter into proper worship. A third thing, the woman asks him, where should we worship? The Samaritans worshiped on Mount Gerizim, and then the Jews would worship in the temple in Jerusalem. She says, where's the proper place to worship? And Christ says, it's no longer about the place to worship. He says, the Jews had proper worship. The temple was the correct place to worship, but the temple would be destroyed. And Christ says, I will raise this temple in 3 days. And he was speaking of the temple of his body. So proper worship was no longer in a geographic location. Proper worship becomes worship within the mystical body of Christ, within the church. So proper worship happens in the church through the power of the Holy Spirit with the sacraments that Christ instituted for us, preeminently the Eucharist as the proper place to worship. Some people would say, hey, I find God out in nature, so I don't want to go to Mass. Well, we can find God in creation, because the Creator is reflected in creation. But that can't substitute from the worship that Christ teaches us and gives to us, which is the Mass. And so proper worship happens within the church. And Christ also says that we should worship in truth, in spirit and in truth. And so he says that the Jews worship what they do understand. The Samaritans worship who they do not understand. It's important, in order to worship God, that we have to know who God is. And so we have to have proper teaching about who God is. In our culture, people have this tendency to say, it doesn't matter what you believe, just love Jesus and it's okay. But having a proper understanding of who God is and what moral teachings he gives us is important. And so proper worship requires proper theology. And so we have to align ourselves with proper Catholic theology, those teachings that Christ has given to us. If our notion of who God is distorted, then our worship of God will become distorted. And so, you know, as we come before our Lord this morning, I think it's important for us to realize that our Father in heaven desires for us to worship him. And that is our ultimate end. That's what we were created for, infinite greatness. And that happens here with proper worship of God. And in order to enter into proper worship, we have to seek the living water above all things. That has to be our highest desire. We have to repent of the sin in our lives and be forgiven. We must worship within the church, the mystical body of Christ, the new temple. And we must worship in truth, having a proper understanding of who God is and aligning ourselves with proper Catholic teaching. That is the gateway between us and divinity, between us and our ultimate fulfillment.